Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Jaguars Monday. I wouldn't call myself happy, but it's not as though I'm going to let this thing, it's not as though I'm going to let it crush me. It's just one game. And I guess I made sure that going into this season, I kept my expectations where I thought they belonged. You know that about me. I didn't think this was a season that was going to lead to the postseason. I didn't think this was going to be any kind of a season to rival the Cinderella 96 year. And then those things come along, you know, so rarely. But I did allow myself the past 2 weeks, since we really had nothing else to do, to talk about what if this and what if that. And the one thing I think we all agreed on was that the Jaguars' schedule was favorable. It was a little soft in spots. And there were enough soft spots on that schedule that this team had a chance possibly to be a postseason contender. Well, if that was the reason for considering the possibility that this team could have been a postseason contender, that it had soft spots on its schedule, then I think we all agreed that the Jaguars had to win those games. Those soft spots were must-win games, and we decided that yesterday certainly was one of those soft spots against an 0-6 team. The Jaguars had beaten 37-17 a month earlier, and the Jaguars got blown out yesterday. So perish the thought. Perish any more talk of postseason. And what we need to do now, in my opinion, is talk sensibly. Let's talk about what are the issues with this team. And I know, folks, that you have a lot of issues, and the show tonight is been cleared for you. So, you know, go ahead, call in, and I've tried very hard today to get the answers for you. I think I can presume what your questions are going to be, and I think I have answers for you. So if you would like to comment on yesterday's game, if you'd like to share your disappointment, if you have queries for me about why the Jaguars didn't run the ball more with Maurice Jones-Drew, or why this happened, or why that happened, I'll help you out. I think I can provide some information for you. I can tell you that Jack Del Rio had his usual day after the game Monday press conference today, late this afternoon, and he was very forthcoming and with information, more so than in past weeks. And of course, the thing that he hit on again for the second day in a row is that the team's tackling was deplorable yesterday, and it's not been good this year overall. Horrible tackling in the Arizona game cost them whatever chance they had of winning that game. And Jack Del Rio talked about how this team has to improve its tackling. And I asked the question directly of Jack Del Rio, where does Reggie Nelson fit in that demand for greater tackling? And Coach Del Rio flat said that if he wants to continue to play, he's got to play better than he did yesterday. Reggie Nelson had a really, really tough day. Now, I understood he was making the move from safety to cornerback, which is going from a not-so-premium position to maybe the most premium position on the defense. And he was targeted. The Titans went after him in the run game and in the pass game, and he got turned around in circles in the pass game, and he got run over in the run game. And he is being challenged now. Basically, there's no other way to put it, his career is on the line. First-round pick, 2007, right? 2007 first round pick, and his career is on the line. And for him to turn his career around, it's real simple. He's got to tackle better. Let's go to the callers. And let's start with Dave in St. Augustine Beach. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mr. Ketchman. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to point out that in terms of expectations, I don't know at what point we went astray from the idea that this was a rebuilding team, that 8-8 would be a satisfactory year. Because judging by the reactions from the game, people look back at some of the games that we won this year and say, well, we won good games. Well, we are also the benefit of a somewhat softer schedule.
It has softened.
In the last game, we were playing at home a team that had won, had lost 15 straight games. And we had to go into overtime at home to beat that team.
You're right.
You know, the Titans were favored in this game by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you think is a tougher opponent? The St. Louis Rams, who have lost 15 straight in Jacksonville, or Tennessee in Nashville?
Well, I would have said Tennessee, and here's why. Because a year ago, the Tennessee Titans were 13-3, and the St. Louis Rams were still the St. Louis Rams. So the Titans were 6 games removed from being the best record team in football. The Rams are years removed from being a formidable opponent. You know, there is the possibility that those 6 games the Titans lost are or were an aberration, that they're just not real, that they're just not a good indicator of who the Titans are. We'll find out. I can tell you yesterday that they were a very good team at running the ball, which they always are, and they were better against the pass, but they were better against the pass for a reason. They were bulked up against the pass. They were inviting the run. And I know right away that everyone who's listening to this show is going to say, is saying to themselves, asking themselves, hey, well, then why didn't they run the ball more? And we'll get to that. We'll talk about that.
Inconsistency is the Achilles heel of a young team.
Because inconsistency is not a cause. It's a result.
Absolutely.
When you have a roster full of Pro Bowl players, they play more consistently than a roster full of street free agents. And make no mistake about it, it's not just rebuilding. This is a team, you know, Eugene Monroe and Eben Britton and Derek Cox and Terrence Knight and Jarrett Dillard and Mike Thomas and Zach Miller. That's about rebuilding. Atiyah Ellison and Brian Russell and Gerald Alexander. Let's see, who else? And Torrey Holt. Let's not forget that Torrey Holt had no suitors. All right, he had no one was courting him other than the Jaguars. So he was, for all intents and purposes, a street free agent. This team is loaded with him. It's loaded with guys. Please forgive me, Torrey. I don't mean to put you in this category because you're headed possibly to the Hall of Fame. But at this late stage of your career, you know, you're in with these other guys who were unwanteds. Some cases, rejects. Other cases, just guys who weren't turning anyone on enough for them to sign them. And you've got these guys in your starting lineup. Atiyah Ellison was with 4 other teams. He's in your starting lineup. I mentioned Torrey Holt. Who else? Brian Russell yesterday was in the starting lineup. Gerald Alexander, I don't know if he was in the starting lineup. I think, yeah, he was. He was in the starting lineup. There's another guy. You know, he was traded by the Detroit Lions. You've got to be realistic about this. You have to be realistic about this.
Thanks, Vic.
Sure. Thank you. Let's talk to Trevor in Montreal, who likes to call this show, and I always enjoy talking to him because Trevor, you're somebody who has a good mind for this stuff. So what do you have to say, Trevor?
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Real well.
First of all, I want to put a little positive spin on your show and just say that Maurice Jones-Drew played awesome yesterday. For a guy who didn't get to touch the ball a lot, he played amazing. And the other thing I wanted to ask was just, what did you think of the pass protection? Just because I know we didn't really get a passing game going, and just wanted to have your thoughts on the pass protection.
Well, it wasn't great, but I've seen David Garrard under more pressure this year and do more with less. I thought that in the Houston game, which the Jaguars won, I thought he was under an absolute barrage of pass rushers, especially in the first half, and he found a way to get rid of the ball. He found a way to leave the field upright. I thought the Titans yesterday didn't apply constant pressure. They got to him. Let me look here at the stats. I think he was sacked 4 times, so they did get to him. But I felt there were plenty of times when he had ample opportunity to pass. David Garrard was sacked 4 times for 26 yards. That's not good. I mean, that looks really, really bad. But I don't think it was as bad yesterday as the numbers make it look. I know Trey Thomas got hit for one of those where Vandenbosch just blew right by him. I think it was Vandenbosch. And you know, if that had been Eugene Monroe, oh, man, they'd be screaming on the show tonight. But Trey Thomas, when you've had the great career he's had, he gets a pass. Eben Britton was okay. You know, we don't talk much about him, and that's a good thing. When you don't talk a lot about a rookie, that means that he's doing okay. And let's not forget the fact that the Jaguars ran the heck out of the ball. By the way, the Jaguars averaged, I think it's 13.6 per rush. 13.6 per rush as a team. And Maurice Jones-Drew, of course, averaged 22.1. And, of course, that begs the question, why didn't they run the ball more? And when somebody wants to ask that question and has some passionate feelings about it, I'll certainly get into it with them.
Hey, Vic, how's Rashad Jennings coming along to you?
You know, he looked real good in that Houston game when he was in a mop-up role. He showed us what he showed us in OTAs. Quick burst, get outside, do something with the ball. But you know, when the hole's not there, it's not as though, you know, it's not as though he treats it as a Smitty's blaster. Do you know what a Smitty's blaster
No.
is?
No.
Way back, there was a gizmo, a training device called a Smitty's blaster. Oh, it was infamous. And what a Smitty's blaster was, maybe they still have it, although I haven't seen it. It was a six-armed device. It was like a gate. There were 3 padded arms that came from a stanchion, an upright, a post on each side, and they were on springs. The whole thing was spring-loaded. So a coach could make it as stiff as he wanted it or as soft as he wanted. You know, if you wanted your guys to just, you know, get the feel of powering through this gate, then you lighten up. If you wanted them to have to knock this thing.
Yeah, I've seen video of them.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about now.
Of course, you know, I can remember my coach, of course, he had to turn it on kill. He had to turn it on choke. And it's one of the most embarrassing things is getting caught in one of those. And so you could probably figure out who got caught in it. You know, there were 3 arms that came from each side, and then you were to hit that thing so that your pad level was on the middle, the 2 middle arms, and your head up and just boom, you know, boom, blast right through it, and the arms would swing open like a gate and you'd be through, and it would make this wonderful, you know, click click sound, click click, you know, and the louder it clicked, you know, the more esteem you had. Well, Rashad Jennings doesn't make that click click sound. Mm-hmm. And that's something they've got to work on him with going forward. He's not the pounder that a guy his size should be. Want to go to a break?
Let's go to a break. You want to talk to Vic? Now's your chance. 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Here's a reminder. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, foods, drinks, and a whole lot more. Stop by Gate today. Jaguars Monday returns on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV. This portion of Jaguars Monday brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Want to talk to Vic? Here's how you do it. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the calling area, 1-800-355-NFL1. Calls from Southside to Fleming Island. Victor and everywhere in between, you're on.
Greg is on the west side. He wants to talk about the defensive line and the officials. Greg, good evening.
Hey, Vic. Thanks for taking my call tonight. It's a pleasure to talk to you always.
Same to you.
From what I saw yesterday, the defense, the one thing I saw that really stood out was the defense did not look intense or hungry. Titans were, like, completely out-tackling us and out-hitting us. That was the one thing, is that when they were making tackles, they were physically burying our guys and hitting them to the point where they felt it.
How do you judge intensity? What do you see that tells you one team is more intense than another?
There was one play where I think his name was Lubbock, went up through the middle and got Garrard on a right after he passed the ball, and literally, for all intents and purposes, picked up Garrard and drove him into the turf.
Bullock, Keith Bullock?
Get a flag.
Keith Bullock?
Yeah, Keith Bullock, yeah. He planted them like a tree. And I was amazed we didn't get a flag for it, but that was the type of hitting they were doing to our guy all day long yesterday, and we weren't matching it.
Well,
and with the Titans, you got to do that.
Go ahead. You have something else you want to say about the officials, and then I'm going to comment
I'll take your
on
comments off the air.
Yeah.
Yesterday I saw the thing with Ernest Wilmer, the taunting call, and there was a number of times where there was a lot of holding on them, and I know you don't ever get those calls, but it didn't seem like there was a very equitable officiating yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take your call up there.
Yeah, the Ernest Wilmer call was really ticky-tacky, but, you know, I mean, that's the way it is in this league now. If you look cross-eyed at somebody, or if you just look cross at them, that's a major point of emphasis, the sportsmanship thing. And I'm okay with it because I'm really tired of seeing the taunting. I'm really tired of all that chicken poop. And so I'm okay with it. And I didn't think the officials were any kind of factor in this thing. I mean, you know, if we're going to pick at them, we're going to pick at them for minor stuff. It's not as though they nullified an 80-yard touchdown run by Maurice Jones-Drew. It's not as though they call pass interference on a deep pass that put the ball on the 1-yard line. At Hockey League can't help it that a kickoff is not reviewable. I mean, it's the way it is. It's not reviewable. All right, did they blow the call? Looks like it. But I mean, what are we talking here? 20 yards? I mean, one good pass play changes that.
Shouldn't they also know, because they're professionals, that it's not reviewable? Why did they waste the time of putting their head in the box?
Jeff Fisher was on the competition committee, I think he still is, a few years ago, when Byron Leftwich threw a pass as he was going across the line of scrimmage and was judged not to have been across the line of scrimmage, when in fact it looked like he was way beyond it. And Fisher didn't challenge because he told reporters the following day that the play was not reviewable, when in fact it was reviewable. So these guys, even though they're on the competition committee, don't know the rules. And you know why? Because there are too many rules. The rule book is too thick. It's absurd. I mean, there's just so much. There are so many rules and so many interpretations, different interpretations. So I'm going to get off the official thing. I don't think that was an issue yesterday. As far as the defensive line is concerned, this is what I saw early that was a bad indicator, a bad omen in my mind. One of the first things I do early in a football game is I watch the line surges. Who's coming off the ball lower, harder, quicker, with more force? Who's getting to whom? Clearly, on the first play of the game, which resulted in, I believe, a 9-yard run by Chris Johnson, and I will confirm that right now. Yes, a 9-yard run by Chris Johnson, followed by a 2-yard run by Chris Johnson for a first down. Chris Johnson then got 4 yards, and Chris Johnson got 6 yards. I could see in the first drive that the Titans' offensive line was coming off the ball lower. They were coming off the ball harder. They were coming off the ball in unison. They were coming off the ball more quickly. And that was a bad omen. That's what I saw up front. And you know what? It turned out to be very symbolic of what the day would become. With that, we'll take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we'll really light it up.
Fans, here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make JaguarsSearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars. It can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. It's JaguarsSearch.com. Jaguars Monday continues right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday and News Talk Radio WOKV. Hey, if you want all the inside information on the Jaguars, just log on to Jaguars.com/connect and join the Jaguars Twitter and Facebook groups. How about that? Hey, now back to Vic Ketchman, who is a friend to stars and their dogs.
Yeah, I need to tell that story. Say, make sure I tell that story.
All right, we'll get it in.
Okay. Anyhow, folks, before I go back to the phones, I want to drop this on you. You might find this interesting. I do. I'm looking at the starting lineups yesterday. I've got six starters for the Jaguars. Six players in the Jaguars starting lineup, offense, defense. Six players who are basically street free agents. Trey Thomas, for all intents and purposes, without a team. Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him. He had no offers. We talked about Torrey Holt. He had was being courted a little bit by the Titans, but they never made an offer. That's two. Ernest Wilford, cut by the Miami Dolphins. That's three. Atiyah Ellison, he was with four teams before he came to the Jaguars from the 49ers practice squad. That's four. Gerald Alexander, traded from the Lions to the Jaguars for Dennis Northcutt. Alexander, of course, coming off a neck fusion surgery. Was not wanted. They drafted Louis Delmas, I believe, in the second round to be their safety. Alexander would have been cut. He was not wanted. That's five. Brian Russell, cut by Seattle, I believe. I mean, you're talking about six players in the starting lineup who were unwanted, street free agents. How about, here's some more names for you. William Middleton, signed off the Falcons practice squad. Courtney Green, I forget, was he a Seahawks Seattle cut? I think it was a Seattle cut.
How about McCown?
Well, McCown was a trade. I mean, I'm not going to call him an unwanted. Okay. Tyrone Brackenridge, cut by the Chiefs and the Jets. In the spring. Adam Seward, cut by the Panthers, right? Let's see here. Montavious Stanley, cut by the Falcons. I mean, do you see what? And here's another guy, Keenan Forney, cut by the Chargers, right? Let's see if there's anybody else. Jordan Black, cut by the Bucks. I hope I have this right. I'm going by memory on these guys. Brian Sexton knows this stuff better than I do. He's got a great memory for these roster-type moves. I hope I've got these right. Here's another one. Brian Smith. Isn't that one of your guys, Joe? One of your cut by the Eagles? Is that correct?
Yeah. Well,
he wasn't cut, but he wasn't re-signed, and there was no effort to re-sign him, and nobody in the league was attempting to sign him.
You're right.
Brian Smith. Wasn't he with the Eagles? Here's another guy. I mean, Sean Considine, was anybody other than the Jaguars courting him in free agency? I don't know of anybody else. Here's another guy, Greg Peterson, cut by the Bucks. Do you see what I'm saying, folks? I mean, I don't know if you counted all these. I counted six in the starting lineup. How many other guys did I count on the roster? There may be as many as 15 guys. During the next break, I'll go back and I'll count them all. But, I mean, if that doesn't tell you all you need to know about what is happening to this roster, then you just don't get it. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's talk to Josh. Josh?
Josh.
Okay. Let's go to Josh first in Arlington. Good evening, Josh.
Hey, Dave. How you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
A little tired. Just came back from Tennessee.
Oh, that's nice. Did you have a good time?
It was fun. Other than the loss, it was fun up there.
Yeah, I always enjoy going to Nashville. The weather was great. I love the stadium. Love the city. I really do like that place.
Yeah, it was good. My question, kind of not really a question, but it has to deal with that. Being there yesterday, they were 0-6 at the time. And they had a stadium full of people.
Yeah,
I just think we need to get out there. And I don't want to hear. About the PSLs and everything. The tickets are still bought, and they show up.
Thank you. I'm going to comment on that. Thank you for calling. Folks, I was expecting 25,000 no-shows. I mean, I covered the Steelers in bad years, and we know how they've never had anything but sellouts. And I've covered them in bad years and late in the season. I can tell you they've had major no-shows, when the team wasn't going to make the playoffs, et cetera. And I expected that at 0-6 and with all the disappointment surrounding the Titans, there was going to be 25,000 no-shows. I don't know, maybe 7,500. I mean, it looked good. It looked really good. And the official attendance was, or official tickets distributed was 69,143. So that's a 70,000-seat stadium. 70,000-seat stadium for that little town. People, when I found out that Bud Adams was moving the Oilers from Houston to Nashville, I laughed. I thought to myself, has Bud Adams lost his mind? Has he lost his mind? Has he gone completely nuts to move a team from Houston to Nashville? And now all these years later, it's no laughing matter, Bud Adams was a visionary. Because Nashville, I'd have never guessed this in a million years, has turned into a fabulous pro football town. Who would have ever thought? Nashville, which had no pro football experience at all, college football only. Not only is Tennessee, whatever it is, down the road, 150, 200 miles down the road, and dominates the state, they've got an SEC team, Vanderbilt, right in the city limits. And they sell it out game after game. And not only did they sell it out, they put butts in the seat yesterday for an 0-6 team, for an 0-6 team that was dealing with terrible disappointment. That place was pretty full. So I take my hat off to them. Let's get another call in before our next break. Let's talk to Dave on the South Side. Good evening, Dave.
Hey, Vic, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, my question, comment, I just want to talk more about the whole reason why didn't they, why didn't they run the ball? Why didn't they give the ball to Maurice Jones-Drew until halfway through the second quarter? And, I was at work today, but I heard on my way home on another station that supposedly, I guess, on press conference this afternoon, that Del Rio kind of called out David Garrard.
Well, he didn't call. Whoa. Not everything is called out. I mean, not everybody gets called out and whipped. Not everybody gets pilloried, all right? I asked a simple question, and the question was, did David Garrard audible to pass plays a few times in those first nine plays of the game, that all of which were pass plays? And Jack Del Rio answered yes. And then I got more information. And here's that information. The Jaguars' first play of the game. First and 10, Jacksonville at its 40-yard line, trailing 3-0. David Garrard passed short right to Mike Sims-Walker. I think that was a bubble screen. It was supposed to be a run. He changed it from a run to Maurice Jones-Drew to a pass to Mike Sims-Walker because David saw an excess of players in the box. It gained 5 yards. Second and 5, Jacksonville 45. David Garrard pass incomplete, short right to Maurice Jones-Drew. It was supposed to be a run. He changed it to a pass. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Let's take Dirt Cutter out of the rack. Maybe he doesn't belong in the rack. Oh, that Cutter, I hate him. Oh, he's the guy. If it'll run the ball, it'll won. Folks, what I'm saying is, from now on, let's all cool down on these things and let's get the information. I'll try to get the information for you. as far as running the ball yesterday, when a guy who's averaging 20, what do you average? Average 22.1 yards a carry, only gets it 8 times, you screwed up. You screwed up. Ask Dirk Cutter. He'll tell you, oh, yeah, that's a mistake. I mean, there's no way to defend that. That's a goof. But you see, there are some mitigating circumstances. Quarterback is checking out of runs to passes. That's a mitigating circumstance. Then you only have 49 plays in the game. I mean, that's not contemporary football. I mean, that's unheard of. 49 plays is just absurd, an absurdly low amount. Of course, that 80-yard run and 79-yard run took some plays out of there. Those might have been 10-play drives. And instead of one run going 80 yards, you might have 6 runs in there going 40 yards. You might have, in the other drive, you might have 7 runs in there going 50 yards. Now, all of a sudden, you got 13 plus 8. That's 21, and that's more respectable. So let's not get all bent out about this rushing attempts total because there are mitigating circumstances. Maybe we can talk more about that when we come back after this break.
Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of the First Down Touchdown Teachers. Just visit CommunityFirstFL.org for the details. Jaguars Monday continues right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. Thanks for hanging. Hey, how's $50,000 sound? You could win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and a guest can win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just go to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. You probably can't. You're probably not eligible.
No. By the way, I don't have time tonight to do it, but remind me on Wednesday to tell everybody about the movie star I met.
And her dog.
And her dog. Outside the Hotel Renaissance in Nashville as I was smoking a pregame cigar.
See, it's just
on Sunday.
Folks, you don't know this. 4 words for you. Vic Ketchman, chick magnet.
No, the dog was a male. Anyhow, remind me on Wednesday to talk about
it. You don't want to do it tonight? I do Wednesday.
Okay.
I think the boys will appreciate it Wednesday.
Okay, folks, I counted it up during the break, 17. There are, counting Jeremy Cain, including him, the long snapper, Jeremy Cain, there are 17 unwanteds on the Jaguars' 53-man roster. Keep that in mind, please. Let's go to Don in Toronto, Canada, I assume. Or maybe it's Toronto, California.
No, it's Canada, Vic. How are you doing?
Oh, okay. Don, how are you?
Never better, thanks. I think I just wanted to add on almost to that point you were just making about the 17 sort of unwanted guys that we have on the roster. And I think what people maybe don't realize, I mean, when you're looking at a rebuilding roster, they see some flashes where we do some things like the last game with the Titans, and then they look at this one and they have trouble kind of reconciling the one game to the other. And when I look at it, I come away with the notion that, you know, you have all these new guys coming in, and the roster is really kind of fragile in a lot of ways, right? I mean, with those guys at the bottom of the roster, what you're really looking for is backups. So, I don't know, when we look at a game like this and Rasheen goes out and you have to back him up with someone like Reggie Nelson, I mean, obviously, there's a problem there. Like, we don't replace players that easily. You saw the same thing when Mike Sims-Walker had to sit out in Seattle. Mm-hmm. You know, one missing piece and a team that doesn't have a whole lot of depth can get into a lot of trouble.
People see winning as the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And they never see losing as the standard. I mean, you can cover a team that it was 1-15, lost 15 games and won just one, and they'll use the one win as the standard of what you should be, when in fact you prove 15 times what you really are. All right, Jaguars have 4 losses. In three of those losses, they weren't competitive. They right now have an average margin of defeat, average margin in their defeats, an average margin of difference in their 4 defeats of 18.5 points. That's not good. You can't use wins over St. Louis a win over a reeling, a win over an India, over a Tennessee team that got hammered the following week, I think it was, by Indianapolis, and then got absolutely destroyed the following week in New England. You can't use wins against those two kinds of teams as a standard of excellence. You see what I'm saying? But I think you can. I think you can use the loss to Arizona, and the loss to Seattle, and now this loss to Tennessee, a standard of how bad it can get when this team isn't playing at its absolute best. I think those losses tell us more about where this team is with its 17 unwanteds on its roster. I think those losses say more about this team than the narrow, than the overtime win over St. Louis.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I agree with you. The other lesson that I think you can take from those games is the games we've won versus the game we've lost have been, as far as I can tell, the games where we've won in the lines, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, every game that we've lost, I think we've been dominated on the lines. And the games that we've won, the opposite's been true. We've been strong there, right?
Yeah. I'm with you, Don. Right, thanks. And we got, let's get another one in here before the show runs its course, and he is Nathan in Richmond, Virginia. Nathan, good evening.
Good evening, Dick. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. Listen, I'm on board with you. I know you said the comment before, you know, you professional players, you don't yell and scream at them and expect any kind of, you know, appreciable improvement.
Mike Singletary does. How's that working for him?
He doesn't have pants on, Dick. you know, some of the best bosses I've ever had, I think, you know, they do challenge the people underneath them. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, for a professional team, when you challenge a professional, I mean, is it just a simple fact of your replacement is on the roster? Is that the challenge? Or, I mean,
the challenge is always job insecurity. Always. Always.
That's the card you play there.
There's no question.
Okay.
It's a card that doesn't have to be played, Nathan. Every one of these players lives in fear of one thing, not losing the game, losing their job. Trust me, I've done this for 38 years, and there's no difference between the players I covered the first year I did this and the players I'm covering now when it comes to motivation. Their motivation in 1972, which was the first year I did this, was find a way to keep my job. And their motivation today is the same. You know, if I took the average fan with me in my travels and he saw these players the day after a game like this, and he saw that they weren't forlorn, he saw that they weren't walking on their hands and knees and whimpering and rolling around in their tears, he'd be upset because he'd be upset that the players weren't hurting as much about the loss as the fan was. But you see, but if I took him around and showed him all the players, he would be able to say, he'd turn to me and say, "That guy didn't play well, did he?" You can tell the guys who didn't play well. They're forlorn.
Yeah.
The guys who played well, even when it's a defeat, they're relatively satisfied because they know all they can do is their job. They're not responsible for the team winning. They're responsible for doing their job, which will help the team win. Gotta go. Show's over?
Show's over.
Bye, everyone.
All right.
Don't forget story on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday night. Vic will be back with the rest of the guys for Jaguars this week. That's it. Don't forget tomorrow night, Jack Del Rio show. Same time right here at News Talk Radio, WOKV. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman. Brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.